For more on the president's trip to Canada, we turn to Jeffrey Simpson, national affairs columnist with the Canadian daily The Globe and Mail. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, as always.
There's been a recent pattern of U.S. presidents going to Canada right away after they were elected. President Reagan, the first President Bush, President Clinton all did this. But George W. Bush never paid an official visit in his first term. He's coming now. Why is that?
I think he's coming now because, as your report said, he wants to mend a few fences, shall we say, and prepare, if you like, for the trip that he's going to make in early in 2005 in Europe. There were no substantive agreements reached today, and the two major trade irritants that were mentioned in your report remain unresolved, and you wouldn't have expected them to be resolved because, to some extent, the president's hands are tied.
But up until now, there was a visit that was supposed to happen in 2003.
Well, there was a substantial disagreement between the Canadian government of the previous Prime Minister, Jean Chrétien, and Mr. Bush, Bush's administration over the Iraq War. Canada did not participate in the so-called Coalition of the Willing. A majority of Canadians supported that position, and I don't think Mr. Bush was going to come to a country, even a friendly country, that didn't actually participate in that particular endeavor.
As Don Gagne just mentioned, there was the meeting today with Prime Minister Martin in Ottawa. There's the visit tomorrow to Halifax. But one thing that the President Bush is not going to give is the traditional speech to Parliament, which in the past has led to some heckling. Let's listen to a clip from the speech that President Reagan made to Parliament. This was back in 1987.
In Nicaragua, we see such a campaign on our own shores. Threatening. Is there an echo in here?
That's President Reagan laughing that off. But there have been some very strong, even unerrable words from members of Parliament and other Canadian officials for President Bush. Might he have expected a strong response if he gave that speech?
I think the Americans were concerned that there'd be a little heckling. I actually think that was misplaced. All the party leaders had told the MPs to be on their best behavior, and I detected no particular problem, but I don't think the United States administration wanted to take any chances. Look, there were, I don't know, a couple of tens of thousands of protesters in Ottawa today. This happens in all countries when the American president travels. It was a pretty motley collection, I might add, of people who were supporting all kinds of different causes, mostly on the political left. Insofar as Canada has problems with the Bush administration, it doesn't lie with the demonstrators. They're always out there. It's that a lot of sort of moderate Canadians, rightly or wrongly, have been off-put. I mean, it's ironic that the economic relations about which both the Prime Minister and President spoke today have never been closer, and Canada has never needed, in effect, the U.S. economic market more, but seldom has Canada wanted U.S. political ideas less. I mean, there's no politician here, left, right, or center, that would defend this kind of deficit financing that's going on in the United States. We've had seven straight years of surplus, and there's no politician, even on the political right, who could propose massive tax cuts that clearly benefit the rich, and there isn't one who would think of privatizing part of old age pensions or Social Security, as you call it, and there's not one that would favor a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage. None of them prefer a privatized healthcare system, and none of them would want to forge strong links between the churches and secular authorities. So there's a pretty big gap, to say nothing of decriminalizing marijuana and a number of other things I could talk, pretty big gap between the domestic policy priorities of Canadians and Americans at the present time.
Well, given that gap and given the mission of mending fences here, how strong are those fences, would you say now?
Well, I think that the Canadian attitude towards the Bush administration, but we had a lot of polls taken here because we watch American politics pretty closely.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of spectator sport. So polling agencies take polls on how Canadians would have voted in the election. I should say that it's a more liberal polity, so that generally they prefer Democrats, but it was a 3-to-1 Kerry preference. And a lot of people in the newspapers have been saying to Canadians since, hey, get over it. You know, your guy lost. Now we got to move on. And I think that's what the Martin government is basically saying here. Pretty clearly, the individual members of Parliament and the rank and file of the Martin Party, which is a center-left party, would have preferred the Democrats. But the Prime Minister and the Cabinet are basically saying, look, forget that. We've got to deal with our American friends, and they are friends, over the next 4 years on a range of bilateral and international questions. So let's get on with it. And from the Canadian point of view, I think they wanted this meeting today to be businesslike and cordial, which I think it was, even if there were no major developments or announcements in terms of resolving some of these vexatious and longstanding trade irritants, which are unfortunately very deeply rooted in the American trade policy apparatus as between the Congress and the administration.
Well, Jeffrey Simpson, thanks very much.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Jeffrey Simpson is national affairs columnist with the Globe and Mail. He spoke with us from Ottawa.